The idea that no one is looking at the model presented by Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York, which was very simple. If you throw a rock, you're arrested. If you throw a bottle, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, New York was, and it literally was almost overnight, New York became safe.
The John McCullough Show, weekday evenings at 6 on The Patriot.
And we're back on Sports Talk with former Pistons GM Ed Coyle. Here's John Cameron.
We're talking with the former GM of the Pistons, Ed Coyle, on Sports Talk. And we're going to take your calls in a moment at 800-923-9385. 800-923-9385. Or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. And next week, we're going to have on Hal Narragon, the former coach of the Tigers, 68, the Cleveland Indians, and Bo Schembechler's battery mate in Barberton, Ohio, only surviving member of the 68 Tigers as far as coaches are concerned and manager. Heroes in Waterford is a sports-themed restaurant showing sports always on 14 HD screens. A full bar with craft beers. Heroes has all homemade food cooked to order, the best white fish in the state, tender and juicy direct from Lake Superior, along with perch, salmon, cod, rainbow trout, and more, fall off the bone, baby back ribs, pastas, chicken, burgers, and Heroes is known for the fresh Greek salads. For an appetizer, baked breeze to die for. For lunch and dinner specials, 7 days, go to Heroes in Waterford, M59, two blocks west of Telegraph. And India Flavors in Farmington Hills features authentic Indian food, chicken biryani, grilled salmon, chicken kebabs, samosa, and Indian Flavors has the best buttered chicken in town. Lunch and dinner 7 days, happy hour Wednesday through Saturday, 10 till midnight. India Flavors is upscale on Orchard Lake Road, south of 13 Mile, next to ABC Warehouse. India Flavors has a banquet room and caters any size party. Go to IndiaFlavors.com, IndiaFlavors.com. We're talking with former Pistons general manager Ed Coyle on Sports Talk and taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Anything you want to talk about in sports, we welcome your calls. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good for a guy that's 85 years old.
And I know you had an issue. You just got out of the hospital recently.
Yeah, I had some. Started out, I had some type of a rash, and I couldn't find what the source of it was. But I finally did, and I've been in the hospital for quite some time, not longer than I wanted to be.
A lot longer than what you wanted to be, too. I know that. Tell us how when it started, how you became general manager of the Pistons, Ed, back in the 60s. I know you came from Fort Wayne. You were Fred Zollner's accountant, weren't you?
Well, I was in different capacities with Fred Zollner, but in the beginning of the 65-66 season, Don Watrick died, and I was to come up and operate the team until we found somebody that would take over, and my stint lasted 10 years.
10 years you were with the Pistons, did you really enjoy that?
Now, after the first couple of years, it got to be enjoyable. The first couple of years, I thought the first season there was, this wasn't a very good team. I think you get past Dave DeBuscher or Terry Dissinger, that's about all the talent we really had.
That's pretty good, two pretty good players there.
Drafted Dave Bing.
Yeah. Well, that was a little by accident on the Dave Bing.
Yes.
Wasn't it by accident? Everybody wanted Cassie Russell here from Michigan.
No, that's the whole story. At that time, they were wanting Cas in, and of course we would have wanted him too because of local talent. But we had to flip the coin with New York, and they won the flip, and they took Cas. And I always remember Earl Roy telling me that we got the best player, which ended up here. Dave ended up being Rookie of the Year, so. Pretty good selection for us.
Yeah, it was a pretty good selection. He Hall of Fame career after that, and you had some great moments in Detroit. I know. We've talked about this before. I remember laying in bed one night, my roommate, of course, as you remember, of course, Rich Neiman. And the phone rings, and I was the GM. I was a room clerk that night at the Fort Shelby. And he had gone, this was Thanksgiving, it was 66 or 67, whatever it was. He had gone home to St. Louis for Thanksgiving. The phone rings, and you asked for him. And I said, no, he's not here. He's back in St. Louis. That's before the cell phone days, of course. Back in St. Louis for Thanksgiving, you told me to leave him a message. You traded him. I said, to who and for who? And he said, we traded him to former Syracuse player, to Milwaukee for Dave Gamby. And now the interesting part about that is, well, then I got to the hotel. I kept calling the room, and finally he answered. He said, happy Thanksgiving, Ron. I said, well, I got some news for you. I said, you just got traded. To who? And he said the same words I asked you, to who and for who, to Milwaukee for Dave Gamby. They must really want me. And he played well when he went over there. And he called, Ron, I think I'm going to be the starting center next year. Well, that didn't work out when they ended up drafting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
One of the things, you know, is talking about the basketball league now and what it was back then. When I first became general manager, there was only 8 teams in the NBA. And then the 9th team the following year was Chicago Bulls. So the thing has grown quite tremendous.
It has grown quite a bit. But, you know, it's interesting. Back, and nobody believes this when I told them that because they're not old enough to believe it. Back then, the league was having problems when you took over the Pistons, the whole league.
Yes.
And not only that, but they couldn't draw. And so what you would have to do, you'd have to play doubleheaders.
Yeah. We had one of the things that a lot of people kind of forgot about in the early years of the NBA. I know Fred Zellner helped financially some teams just to make even. Make things go, and it just nowadays when how many teams they have now, I don't even recall. But
32, something like that, or
but only had 18 at that time, and then you know, one of the other things that's kind of interesting to remember quite well is when Bob Lanier came up, in the NCAA tournament that year, and we had a flip of coin with. With Boston, and we had the first pick, and we ended up taking, of course,
you took Lanier.
Oh, Bob Lanier, I'm sorry. Yeah. And Bob, in the NCAA tournament, and he got hurt, and he was out for quite a while, but the other part of it is that the person that got involved with him.
Chris Ford.
Injured his leg.
Chris Ford.
Chris Ford.
Yeah, Chris was a pair with the Pistons. Yeah, and you drafted him too. Another nice player. Became a coach in the NBA. Good guy. Chris Ford was a good guy. So you had some great, they had some real moments. Back when they were the doubleheaders, though, but a lot of the teams did the doubleheaders. St. Louis Hawks would play the Boston Celtics one game, the Pistons would play the New York Knicks in the second and all that. It was a whole different thing in the league. But they had to do that to survive. Am I wrong, or didn't the Pistons one year have the Globetrotters in for the first game of a doubleheader?
I think they had a couple years they would have been in there. And I don't recall what year it was, but there was a couple games that the preliminary game was with them.
There we go. It was in 1969, not January 1st. It was Thanksgiving, not January 1st. It's got up here January 1st. Or maybe it was New Year's he went home for. I thought it was Thanksgiving. Traded Rich Neiman and cash to the Milwaukee Bucks. How much cash was involved in that?
I don't know.
To the Milwaukee Bucks for Dave Gamby. Yeah? Another one of my favorites came out. It didn't work out that well here. Terry Driscoll. You got Terry Driscoll as the number one. And then you hired Butch Van Bredekoff as coach. He was a beauty, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had his own way of doing things.
Did he ever?
He didn't last very long.
Well, he was a coach for 40 years in this layer. More than that in college. He was, until he died, at about 90, he was still coaching.
And then 2 years later, Terry Dischinger, interim head coach.
Huh?
And then 2 years later, Terry Dischinger was appointed as the interim head coach. November 1st, 71.
Boy, I almost forgot about that one.
And then Earl Light was hired.
No, you're thinking not Terry Dischinger. You're thinking of Dave DeBuscher.
No,
and
he
David
was
a, Bush was a player coach for a
while.
Well, Dishner's the interim head coach for 2 days.
Oh, just
then,
that one, I remember.
Was hired,
I thought you remember just for a couple of games. That was something.
Very possible.
Yeah. We're talking with Ed Coyle, the former GM of the Pistons, and we'll take your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or you can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. And we got Cowboy in Windsor. You're on Sports Talk with Ed Coyle. Cowboy, go right ahead.
Well, hi. Thanks for putting me on, Ron and Alex.
Sure.
And, great talking to you, Mr. Coyle. Oh, yeah, and I remember the old doubleheader days, too, by the way. And, Mr. Coyle, a couple of questions. Did you draft one of my all-time favorite Pistons, the man with the golden arm, Eddie Miles? And do you get the chance to see much of the Pistons and the rest of the NBA today? And what do you think of it if you do see it? And I'll take it off the air. And thanks for putting me on, Ron and Alex. And great talking to you, Mr. Coyle.
Yeah. I remember once when – thank you, Cowboy. I remember once when I called your wife and you were in the hospital – she jumped all over. What happened to the Pistons last night? Watching that was ridiculous. When they lost to Philadelphia, and that took me back. I didn't expect that question. I said, "You're right, Mrs. Coyle. They were awful."
My wife was very much a basketball fan. She's a basketball fan today. And the question that the person asked about Eddie Miles, and Eddie, we drafted him. I forget him. I think he would do. Is he in St. Louis? Not St. Louis.
No,
Seattle.
Seattle. You got the right first letter. Yes.
But a lot of things, water went over the dam since those days. But the year that we took Bob Lanier, we got criticized a lot because we didn't take Pete Maravich. Of course, when you're drafting for the big man, you got a choice between a good player and a bad social player. Take the better player.
Yeah, Maravich was an entertainer, but he was not like Bob Lanier, that's for sure.
No.
What's your fondest memory of being GM of the Pistons, Ed?
Well, there's a lot of them. It's just contact we had with different people. I think one of the people that I enjoyed talking to and being negotiating with some was... I can't even think of his name, from Boston Celtics.
Red Auerbach?
And Red Auerbach.
Oh, God, he was a beauty.
Really a down-homer, and he was, first back then, like I said, we had eight teams, and he was winning championships year after year. But he was just a gentleman in his own right.
Really? And that's interesting. I've never heard him called some names, but not gentleman wasn't one of them. I can remember Earl Strom. You know, Earl was a great guy. Nobody messed with Earl as a referee, and he threw Auerbach out of the game. They had a controversial call against Boston in the Garden. He went back to the room, and here comes Auerbach pounding on the door. "You, Strom, what's going on? What did you do to me? What did you do to me?" And Earl said, he told me later, he says, "Ron, Red Auerbach hated to be called by his first name, Arnold." So I took that on. I said, "Don't let your dandruff up, Arnold." And this got him more mad. And he's pounding more on the door. "Come on, Arnold, you're being a baby, Arnold."
And you mentioned Earl Strom.
Oh, man.
I had an incident with him. We played a game out in Seattle, and the game was close. We both were trying to catch a flight. And I went outside to get a cab, and Earl and I rode in the same cab back to the airport. he hid in the car when we was going back because Seattle had lost to us, and he didn't hear anything more from the fans.
Yeah, well, that's when was it Utah or Seattle when one of the women came up and said, "Earl, can I take a picture of you being sure?" And he posed and took the picture, and Earl flipped her the bird. "You take pictures of that lady," and he couldn't go back. I think it was Utah. I don't think it was Seattle. It was Utah. And he couldn't go back there for a couple of years. Earl was a prince of a guy though, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he was. Back there, the players, the coaches, they had some good referees, and they had some of the wife said they were not so good, but as a whole, I think we got a very fair
Oh, yeah.
Meet with him.
Yeah, Earl has been a close friend of mine. I drove him to the airport. I drove the officials to the airport all the time back then. Let's take a break here, and then we'll take some calls on Sports Talk. We're talking with Ed Coyle, the former general manager of the Pistons, at 800-923-9385, or email Cameron, sportstalk@yahoo.com. Detroit Soul, changing the soul food experience. Detroit Soul features barbecue chicken, fish, fried, smothered pork chops, turkey, wings, and more. Detroit Soul serves lunch and dinner 7 days, a little dine-in, carry-out, and catering for all occasions. Detroit Soul on 8 Mile between DeQuinder and Ryan. Go to DetroitSoul.net, DetroitSoul.net, DetroitSoul.net. Cannoli Pastry in Dearborn features European, Italian, and French sweets and a variety of cakes, cookies, sweet rolls made on the premises from noted chef Chuck. If you have a sweet tooth, go to Cannoli Pastry for the best pastries, including lobster tail stuffed with cannolis and their famous cronut. Cannoli Pastry, corner of Monroe and Michigan Avenue. And Burger 21 Novi features the best burgers in town. Fresh made to order, certified Angus beef burgers. 10 beef, 10 non-beef, chicken, turkey, and seafood and veggie burgers. A gluten-free menu, gourmet salads, and handmade shakes. Burger 21, Michigan's first location. Burger 21, lunch and dinner 7 days, and catering. Located on Novi Road between I-96 and Grand River. Go to burger21.com/Novi. burger21.com/Novi. We're talking former Pistons general manager Ed Coyle on Sports Talk and taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Let's go to Ken in Livonia. Ken, you're on Sports Talk with Ed Coyle.
Okay, Ron, thanks. Had a couple of questions. Talk a little bit about what was behind the trade Dave DeBuscher to the Knicks.
Well, that was a trade that should never have been made, but it was one of those problems that we had that the owner of the club thought we could do better, and so he ended up making that trade.
You're talking about Fred Zollner?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now, Ed, was that in 67 that you traded him?
No, I've been a little later than that, I think. I can't remember what year it would have been, but it seemed like it had been later than that 67. But I can't tell you for sure.
Let's see. Where is it? Oh, my goodness.
Was Bellamy involved in that trade, Walt Bellamy?
Was he a problem?
No. Was he involved in that trade?
Yes, he was. Walt Bellamy was. Yeah. Walt was I don't know. He never knew a chance to know him. Walt was a highly intelligent person. And always funny thing with him, he had gone down the floor after they call a foul on him. He'd say, well, if that happened to Dave DeBuscher, he wouldn't have got a call on it. But since it's Walt Bellamy, you get another foul on me.
It was December 19th of 68.
Yeah, when DeBuscher went to the Knicks for Bellamy. And Howard Comeyes, now here's a pistol, left-handed shooting guard, Howard Comeyes.
Yes. Whatever happened, Howard, I haven't heard.
Died. I think he died. He lived in Toledo. Check out Howard Comeyes. I'm thinking in my mind that he died a couple of years ago. Steve Mix was involved, of course, with the Pistons. Then he became a broadcaster. And he's still alive. He coached women's teams somewhere for a couple of years, and I think he's retired now.
Yep, he passed in 2009, only age 67 in Toledo, like you said.
Yeah, he was born and raised in Toledo. So was Steve Mix, also in Toledo.
Yeah.
He was 69? Woo.
Yeah, his wife found him unresponsive and unconscious in their home.
And now here's an interesting one, of course, you did, Ed, as well. Do you have another question, Ken?
Yeah, I have two more, and then I'm going to listen out there.
Go ahead.
I know you didn't have too much success with the teams you had when you were there. But I always thought that 74 team was probably the best in that span of the 60s and 70s. And he played a seven-game series with the Bulls, which was one of the most exciting I ever saw.
Oh.
If I asked you what was the best team while you were there, would you pick the 74 team or a different one?
Well, I'd have to go with the Boston Celtics at that point. One of the other things...
No, I mean the Piston team.
What's that?
He meant the best Piston team you had.
Oh, the team that you were.
I think it was Dave Bing and Bob Minnier.
The year with Dave Bing and Bob Lanier, Ken.
Hold on, what?
The year with Dave Bing and Bob Lanier.
Yeah, they were on that. Yeah, they were on that team.
74 team.
And Adams was there.
We just lost him a couple years ago, too, Don Adams.
Was Don that Adams, somebody told me he died. Is
it? Yes, he did. Now, Don, was that your best team, the 74 team?
Yes, it probably was. 74, 75. It was 2 years in a row we had, if you look at the records, we had pretty good records 2 years in a row. And the one series we got beat by somebody mentioned about Chicago Bulls. And there was a down to the wire thing, and they ended up beating us. So.
A hard-fought series. That was one of the – that was a knockdown, drag-out affair, that series.
Yes.
That was, I tell you, that was one of the best series I ever saw.
Oh, was it ever, Ken?
The Ray Scott, he was coach of the year that year.
Yeah.
Ed, who succeeded you as GM? I don't. I'm getting mixed up with the years here.
I am
who
too.
Followed
I can't tell you who it was. Left me. Left after me. And a couple people didn't last too long.
Not Bob Kaufman, was it? No.
Yeah, Kaufman. He. Who?
Oh, I'm trying. Well, I can't remember either here now.
I think it was. The guy was there. He was the next ball player, and I can't tell you for sure who it was. And you know, it's been
what was your last year, Ed, as GM?
75, wasn't it?
What's that?
Your last year as GM here, Ed?
75-76 season.
So then you were gone before Vitale got here. Okay. So, all right, Ed, well, I thank you for your time, and you guys have a good night.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, about Dick Vitale. Well, Dick Vitale, you know, you weren't in Detroit, but Dick Vitale, when he was coaching the Pistons after that, was my I hired him as my part-time co-host on WXYZ. I'd hired George Blaha to be my full-time co-host back then. And that's what started Dick Vitale on his radio career.
He's quite a person, that's for sure.
Oh, do you ever see Dick anymore?
No, I haven't. I've seen him for quite some time.
But you did come back and you flew into Detroit one time at the airport and you ran into Dave Bing.
Yes, uh-huh. And Dave, he was getting back from Chicago and I was getting back from the West Coast and just accidentally ran. I think at two different times that you ran into him at the airport.
Really? Good man.
Yeah, he was.
Dave Bing did a good job as mayor here and now the other guy's doing a good job. So the Pistons are the... The city's in pretty good shape. You know, Cobo Arena took some criticism. But I'll tell you one man that told me that it was the best arena in the NBA, and this guy had been around a long time, Ed Kennedy, the voice of the Cincinnati Royals. He became a friend of mine. He came in town, and I said, what do you think? He said, this is the best arena in the NBA. And it was limited because you can only put, 10,500 in there because the end of the arena backed up to the water, and that hurt that arena, didn't it?
Yes, that's the big thing. And if we had, full capacity with 11,000 people, because we didn't, in the early years, didn't get many of those. But later in the last couple of years with the team, we did very well in the attendance, and I thought we ended up with, I don't know how many wins we had that year, but it was pretty substantial.
Now, when you became GM here, you, of course, with how did Ed Coyle approach you on that to be GM?
Who, me, Fred Zollner?
I mean, how Fred Zollner approached you, Ed, to be the GM?
Well, I tell you, when the first year they're just going to be until we hired somebody, and then at the end of the season, Fred invited my wife and I to Florida to talk to him. And coming back from dinner, he told my wife, says, well, when Ed's up in Detroit, she ought to be staying down here in Florida. So that's the way I found out I was going to be there for more than 1 year.
You made the comment, the guy that replaced you was just at the Piston game the other night. I didn't get a chance to see him. And I wish I had of. And is Oscar Feldman.
Oscar, he was one of the owners.
Yeah, he was part owner with Davidson. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And a lawyer.
Yes.
He replaced you. And then Jack McCloskey, who I broke the story. McCloskey was to be the GM of the Pistons because I broke it on the radio. He's going to join the Pistons. And they laughed at me. And even Tom Wilson came on and said, you blew that one. I said, he's either be coach, director, player, personnel, or general manager. I'm blowing anything. Because that's when they named my boy who comes on my show now from the Orlando Magic, Richie Adubato, took over for Dick when they fired Dick. And he took over, and Tom Wilson comes on my show. You blew it when you said, I said, I didn't blow anything. This isn't over. And the next week, I was right. They brought him in to be general manager. We still joke about that today.
And then Davidson bought the team in 74.
Yeah.
I know Oscar Feldman was still active around Portland.
Well, I'll tell you what, he looked good. I saw a picture of him in the crowd, and when they were thanking him and everything, George Blaha, when they had the Blaha Day, and they were thanking him and they were cheering, and I saw him in the stands. He looked good. Still got that silver hair, but he looked real good. I didn't get a chance to go up and talk to him, which I wish I had. I would love to put him on the show sometime. He was a good man. Did you know Oscar Feldman very well?
No, as one of the part owners in it, he was pretty the active person in addition to Bill Davidson.
Yeah,
Bill was he knew let people know who was the boss, but Oscar Feldman I think really carried the ball for him for many years.
How did you find the owner, Bill Davidson of the Pistons?
I thought he was a very easygoing person. I know we had a problem coming up. He'd fly his helicopter down there to Cobo Arena and pick me up and talk. So you knew you had something coming up to talk about.
Hey, we got some emails. Let's go to those right now. Go ahead, Alex.
We have Chuck from Belleville. He said, Bing, Lanier, and the Pistol, in my opinion, would have been an awesome team.
You couldn't have both because they could only draft one of the two.
Yeah, but if that could have happened, if there's a way to trade for it, that would have been an awesome team, you said.
Oh, had that opportunity, you would have. But like I say, you when you have the opportunity to get a player, you go usually go with the big player if it's comparable.
You never had a chance to get him after that in a trade, did you?
No, never did. He died as a very young man.
He's playing basketball.
What's that? Yeah. You're right.
On the sand, he was playing basketball, and all of a sudden, he just collapsed. Well, DeBuscher. Yeah. DeBuscher died walking down the street in New York. Now, DeBuscher was a bitter man back then because DeBuscher was GM of the Knicks, and then he became commissioner of the ABA, and they fired him, and he wouldn't. I know Bob Page, my coach, he wouldn't talk to Bob when they tried to get him an interview. He wouldn't talk to anybody. And one day he's walking down the street and just collapsed. And he was in great shape, DeBuscher, toward the end, too. Yeah. Too young, Ed. Too young.
Very young. Very young.
He was only 62.
Yeah. Oh, man. He used to drive me home from the Piston games when he coached the team or drive me to my bus on the east side back then because he had a bar on East Jefferson. His parents had a bar. You had
Yeah, we have Jeff from Ferndale also. Ed, what do you think of long-term contracts and money the NBA players are making today? Also, how important are the contributions or were the contributions of Fred Zollner to the game of basketball in particular?
He saved the NBA.
I think that'd be the best thing you'd describe him. I think he's the one who really saved the NBA. And I know he loaned money to other people, other clubs, just so they can meet payroll. So. Then what was the other question?
Long-term contracts and the money that today's players are making. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the thing about it beforehand, if you come anybody question about it, just the difference in the salary. And then you have players that very few players that made above $300,000 or $400,000. And some players that probably the first two players started making any money was Oscar Robertson. And we get the other person would be Oscar. Oh, Jerry Lucas, the two probably players that started making decent money, but nothing compared to what you're doing today.
The guarantee what I don't like, and you chop in on this too, Ed, the long-term guaranteed contracts, and they guarantee them for so many years. Some of the players get complacent; they don't work. So, what do you think of that?
Well, I don't know about that. The only thing I see in the paper is somebody makes this $11 million or $10 million, whatever it is. And I remember when we first was talking about it, you talked about maybe you get the whole team salaries of $500,000 compared to now getting several million for a year, single player.
Yeah. Do you think the NBA is on strong terms right now? It seems to be because the TV contract saved it, didn't they? Now,
I'm sure that it's saving the NBA or getting an awful lot of money. Now, in our case, back in when we first got when Chicago come in, and I forget how that sequence, and the thing was that some of us teams have survived on the money we got from the new teams coming into the NBA.
That's right, because you divvied that up when the expansion teams. Now it's like nothing happened. You have another email then?
Well, actually, I have a question.
I just hope that the players are helping take care of some of them and to the old-time players. I don't know if they got anything in their contract and provided anything to some of the players who have played the whole season there and maybe only made $500,000 over the 10 years they had or whatever. Yeah. So I just hope they are doing something.
And the pensions weren't big back then, were they?
What's that?
The pensions weren't big back then, were they?
No, I think to begin with, the pension was like $500 per season or something like that. It wasn't very much.
That's pitiful. Nowadays, you get that at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Each day.
Well, I suppose that's the other thing, too. You know, the players just go salaries. It used to be like $20 a day on a trip. I don't know what they're paying now, probably considerable.
About a couple thousand for meals then. The rest would take go to today.
Yeah. Speaking of money, how'd you use your experience as an accountant to kind of direct the Pistons' financial future?
Well, that's a good question, yeah.
No, what was that question?
The question is, an accountant, how did you do that to your benefit to the Pistons?
Well, I started out, I said, I came in through the back door, and I was very reluctant even to get involved with it until Fred Solomon told me that just take it for a few months and you'll get it. We'll replace you. Well, it's never happened. But I think one of the things that important thing I think I've done, I hired people that helped me considerably. I think Earl Lloyd and Donis Butcher were two of the top people for draft choices, and I knew enough to keep people like that on board and not interfere anymore than I have to.
Now, interesting you say that because we just lost Donis Butcher a couple years ago. We just lost Earl Lloyd a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Is Donis dead?
Yeah, Donis died a couple years ago, almost the same time Earl did, maybe a year before that.
Is that right? I know I was out in the Hall of Fame when Earl got inducted into the
Hall of Fame. Did you get a chance to spend some time with him?
Yes, I did. I had an opportunity for him, with him and his wife. And Earl was one of those people that he presented himself very, very well. He always had good things for everybody. And I always had a lot of respect for Earl. And Donis Butcher, too. Donis, got some players, dug out some players from different times that helped us. So
he was a hard-nosed guard, too. I remember Donis Butcher when he came up. His shot, look, he shot from his nose, and it didn't really look good at all. But I'll tell you, it went in some. And Donis Butcher, but I remember when the loose ball was on the court, similar to Van Leer and Sloan, when the loose ball was on the court, Donis Butcher got that ball. That's what I remember most about Donis Butcher.
Well, Donis was one of those people that really worked hard, and
he
come up the tough way. I was down in India when we had a game in Cincinnati. Some of his brothers would come up from there in Kentucky. And
Pikeville.
So it's, it's true.
So, you know, Donis was, you know, one of my favorites. I remember when he was the Knicks. I talked to him. Before you got him from the Knicks, I talked to him. Go ahead.
He always said his big thing in life was that he only got outscored by 10 points by playing in the game with Chamberlain.
He was the last guy. He was the last guy to guard Chamberlain when he got the 100 points.
That's right.
That's because he only gave up 10. He only gave up 10 points. He was only on him for a minute. He gave up 10 points. He didn't score. That's why he outscored that. Donis was a hard-nosed player. We're talking with that Ed Coyle, the former general manager of the Pistons back in the 60s. And we invite your calls if you have any questions for him. Here's our number, 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@Yahoo.com. Next week we're going to have on, I know I screwed up, he was supposed to be on yesterday, but he had something doing left, and he said, Ron, I had it on my calendar for next Saturday. So we'll put him on either next Saturday or Sunday. He said he will come on. 800-923-9385, if you'd like to speak with Ed Coyle, the former GM of the Pistons, or you can email at CameronSportsTalk@Yahoo.com. Rusted Crow by Comerica, the new Little Caesars Arena, shows sports always on many high-def TVs. Rusted Crow Detroit features a variety of entrees, including the award-winning mac and cheeseburger. Rusted Crow has handcrafted spirits, cocktails. You'll dine in a rustic, eclectic atmosphere. Rusted Crow has lunch, dinner, and drink specials Tuesday through Sunday. Rusted Crow Detroit, a perfect place to go before and after the games downtown. Rusted Crow Detroit, on the corner of Adams and Park. First floor of the Kales Building. Westland Bowl. For over 50 years, if you are, for you and your family or friends to bowl or join a league, and Westland Bowl is one of the largest bowling centers in Metro Detroit. 60 lanes with many amenities, two bars and a snack bar with great pizza and burgers. Have fun and burn those calories at Westland Bowl, a perfect place for fundraisers and company parties. Westland Bowl on Wayne Road, north of Ford Road. And the Fenn Hotel in downtown Fenn since 1856. Fine dining casual restaurant featuring prime steaks, fresh seafood, and more entertainment. Tuesday through Saturday in the piano bar at the historic Fenn Hotel. It's worth the drive, folks. Head over there. And the Avenue in River Rouge featuring the best in Mediterranean cuisine, lamb chops, shishkin chicken kebabs, hummus, fattoush salad. And people come from all of downriver for Avenue's famous shawarmas. The Avenue has Angus beef burgers and fresh seafood like jumbo fish and chips and tilapia filet, Cajun smoked salmon, Cajun spiced salmon, specialty salads and appetizers. Serving lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday. Stop by the Avenue on West Jefferson between Schaefer and Otto Drive. The Avenue. Okay, we're talking with Ed Coyle, the GM of the Pistons, on Sports Talk, and the former GM of the Pistons, and taking your calls at 800-923-9385. That's 800-923-9385. Or email CameronSportsTalk@Yahoo.com. Ed Coyle of the Pistons, my guest on Sports. Now, you're living in Indiana now, Ed, right?
Yes, I live. When we come back from Detroit, we bought a home here on a golf course, and we enjoyed it very much back here. But my wife always said that it was a bigger adjustment for her to come back than to go up to Detroit. So,
there are
good memories of Detroit.
Question is, Ed, too. It's changed since you've been here, I'll tell you that, man. Downtown Detroit is really booming right now. It's been something else. Now, do you golf today, Ed?
No, my days playing golf are over with.
But you enjoy watching other people golf on the...
I would sit on the patio and watch them go by, so...
Do you keep in touch with the owner of your other Detroiters or anything like that over the years? You mentioned you ran into Bing a couple times.
Bing, I guess the last time I seen about the players, like Bob Lanier and him both, was at the induction ceremony for the Hall of Fame. My wife and I have been out probably 5 or 6 times to the induction ceremony, and it's really, if you ever have an opportunity to go there, you ought to go.
Yeah, it was great to see Lanier. Lanier is still a pistol.
Yeah.
He's still hanging on pretty good. What, you have an email, Alex?
Yeah, we have Andrew from Garden City. Speaking of downtown Detroit, his email is about the Pistons' possibility of playing downtown.
Oh, yeah, not the possibility. They're playing downtown next year.
Well, it's not official, but they are, basically. Yeah. If you were the Pistons, would you want to move downtown?
Well, I think everything's different. When things go back and when they're still playing down in Detroit, the first talk was going to go out to the Silver Dome in Pontiac, but then now I don't know that Detroit, their downtown, that well either anymore. I haven't been there for
You wouldn't know what to do if you got downtown now, Ed.
But I suppose all the players that have done that, the players, but the different teams throughout the league seem to be trying to center in downtown.
And that's great. Great for the city, and they need a boost in this town like that, Ed. Yeah. Now, Ed, where did you stay when you were in town? Did you stay downtown?
No, the first year I stayed downtown, but thereafter we moved up and bought a home out in Farmington Hills.
Okay. And you had that your whole 10 years there after that?
Yes.
So, I bet in earlier days you never thought you'd be in basketball, did you?
No. Never thought of anything like that going on. But, you get involved with things and you sometimes don't know how you got there. But, like in my case, supposed to be in the right time at the wrong time or something. But anyway, after the first couple of years, I enjoyed being in Detroit and enjoyed being with the Pistons.
You brought in Paul Seymour to coach.
Yes.
Now, Paul was a pistol, and he was a hard-nosed guy. Did I say that right, a hard-nosed guy?
Yeah, very much so. He came out of Toledo, and he's now dead also.
Yeah, he died. He lived in Syracuse. I think it's Syracuse.
Yes, he was. He
Syracuse. He owned a liquor store in Syracuse when he died, but remember, he would be rough on the players. He didn't take around, didn't mess around at all.
No, he was a pretty tough, hard-nosed guy.
Your first move, Ed, when you did the Pistons, was signing a guy that turned out to be a friend of mine. We lived in the same place downtown. Bobby Warlick.
Who?
Bob Warlick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is he around soon yet or not?
I don't know. He was from California, went to school in California. And he lived in the hotel that I was managing, not the Fort Shelby. Oh, the one downtown right across from the Hilton and the Tuller Hotel.
Oh.
And he moved in there, and I ended up managing that place for a short time. But Ed, I don't know what happened to Bobby Warlick from Pepperdine. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. He was Pepperdine. You're correct.
And there's another friend of mine, your second move, and this guy became a real good friend of mine. You were involved with Rod Thorne.
Oh, Rod. And of course, Rod, last time I talked to him, he had been very active with the NBA. I don't know if he still is or not.
No, I think he retired now, but Rod was up. I used to go over to him, and I think his net wife's name was Peggy, wasn't it?
I could not tell you.
But I used to have a good humor truck back then. And I'd go by his house, we'd go in, we'd sit and watch TV for an hour. Him and his wife. Watch TV. Rod Thorne was a great man. I never got to see him. Was with the NBA. I missed him a couple times when he was in Detroit. But Rod Thorne, I was at the game, and you were GM when Rod Thorne ruined his career when he came up for a rebound and went down and tore his Achilles. And I'll never forget that. And he went down, and that ruined his career after that.
I don't recall that.
Yeah.
Of course, after all these years, the things kind of get dull sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You had a
Bob Warlick, son. Unfortunately, he's been dead since 2005. He died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
where was he, in California, by Pepperdine?
Yep, actually Long Beach. He actually established a youth sports foundation in Long Beach. His brother Ernie played football for the Buffalo Bills. Ernie Warlick.
Oh yeah, I remember. I didn't know they were related. He wasn't in Long Beach when I was there in 2002. He had died before then.
Oh, he died in 2005.
Oh, I wish I'd have known he was there. I would have gotten together with him. I had the Long Beach. My baseball team was in Long Beach at Blair Field. I never knew he was there, or I would have gotten a hold of him. Another guy that I never knew when I was in California, I never knew he was there, and he lived in Huntington Beach, was maybe the greatest Piston of all time, George Yardley.
Oh, George. Of course, I was without him. And when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, we had quite, he and Bob Bonier and Dave Bing and they come in at about the same time.
Oh, a good man too, just a tremendous. Well, not Yardley was a little before that, but not much.
Uh-huh.
He was the first player in the NBA, if you didn't know this, to score 2,000 points in a year. This.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did do it. And George, even he is, of course, dead now, too, but he was a very active person. And he, Donis Butch always tells the story when he was a coach that he went out and some guy wanted to come in and try out the team. And he said, you go out and guard that ball-headed guy, and then we'll talk. Well, that didn't. That ball-headed guy happened to be George Yardley.
Well, he's been bald since birth, I think. I remember he was at the Pistons. I'll tell you, for a white guy, that guy could jump.
Yeah.
He'd jump right on the building. I mean, he was unbelievable for a guy 6'5", and a white guy. Led the league in scoring, and he was the first person in the NBA, first player to score 2,000 points in a year.
Yeah.
What a man. George Yardley. I love George Yardley to death. And then they traded him. You weren't involved in that trade, were you?
No, before I came involved.
I'll never forget to go back on the Pistons thing. George Yardley traded to Syracuse for Ed Conlon, and that was a disaster trade. Ed Conlon did nothing here, and George Yardley was a scoring champion in the NBA. They couldn't afford him at the time, though.
Yeah.
And George Yardley traded for look at him, bald as an eagle. Traded early life, NBA career traded. For Ed Conlon. Where is that down there? Okay. To basketball. He retired. When he graduated at 31. He didn't say about the Ed Conlon trade. Dodo, you got it over there? Traded to Syracuse, I believe it was, for Ed Conlon. Why don't you have that on there?
First player ever, though, to average 20 points when he retired.
Oh, he's the first person to average 20 points? Didn't George Mikan average 20 points back in the early days? No. I know he's the first guy to score 2,000 points.
He was the first player in NBA history to retire after averaging at least 20 points in his final year.
I did not know that.
Died in 2004.
In Huntington Beach, was in California. I know that.
Newport Beach.
I knew one of the beaches out there.
Understand.
And I was out there at the time. If I'd have known he was out there, I would have gotten a hold of him, but I didn't know he was out there. He was something else. But you didn't say the trade for George Yardley?
It did go to Syracuse, though, in 1958.
For George Yardley?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Let's look at his stats again. He averaged 19.2 points a game. He could rebound. They didn't have that, but they didn't have 3 points. They were looking at 3 points. They didn't have 3 points back then. Rebounds. He averaged over 10 rebounds a game twice for a guy that size. He was something else. Could he shoot that jumper? And he could dunk, too. He was something.
He led the league in scoring. 27.8 points per game, 57-58.
That's when he scored 2,000 points, wasn't it?
Looks like it, yeah.
Nobody realized in Detroit, they don't talk about George Yardley. I do. He was quite a man. We're talking on Sports Talk the next few minutes with Ed Coyle, the former general manager of the Pistons, and taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, and email Cameron, sportstalk@yahoo.com. Ramshorn Southfield, Northwestern Highway, or 12 mile east of Northwestern, with the big breakfast special weekdays, open 24/7. You get 3 eggs, meat, hash browns, pancakes, or toast for $3.89. Or visit Ramshorn, Rochester Hills, Roseville, and Fraser. Water in your basement? Well, you should call Martin Sewer Cleaning, 734-752-8974. Martin Sewer Cleaning serves all of Metro Detroit, rated number one with BBB and a 5-star rating. So if you need sewer work in your home or business, call the best, Martin Sewer Cleaning, for free and no management 24/7. 734-752-8974. 734-752-8974. And Jay's Penalty Box in downtown Ferndale just opened, fast becoming the area's top sports bar, showing sports on many high-def TVs. Jay's Penalty Box features Angus burgers, homemade pierogies, brats, fish and chips, roasted turkey, and a killer corned beef Reuben. Tuesday, 50-cent wings. Jay's Penalty Box has lunch, dinner, and drink specials. 7 days, Jay's Penalty Box, corner of Woodward and 9 Mile. Light Hookah Lounge in Novi has premium hookahs and a casual yet upscale atmosphere. Light Hookah Lounge shows sports on 10 big-screen TVs. Open 7 days from 5 p.m. Light Hookah Lounge sells hookah products, charcoals, and hookah heads to go. Friday and Saturday DJ party, Light Hookah Lounge, downtown Novi on Main Street. Visit lighthookah.com, lighthookah.com. In closing, because we don't have much time left, just a couple minutes, Eddie, what's your fondest memory of Detroit, just overall fondest memory?
Well, I guess some of the things you remember more than anything else was some of the people you had an opportunity to meet with. I know some of the players, and not only basketball players, but I know at least in our office there for a while was in the Sheraton Cadillac Hotel, and these ball players, like the one example with the Yankees, and the players which come into your office just kill time. So, an opportunity to meet a lot of different people, I guess, would be what I'd say would be the all-time record.
I can remember one time driving by with the late, great Joe Gashue, referee. We were going to eat, drove by the Piston offices, and Ray Scott was rocking across the street to the steakhouse. He said, roll the window down, Ron. I did. He said, hey, Ray, that's not the woman I saw you with last night. And Ray turned around and glared, and Joe ducked on the back seat. The only person Ray seen was me. I said, you're going to get me killed. And I told Ray about that. Lady says, Ron, I knew that was Joe. That's a Philly joke because they're both from Philly. And he said, I knew that wasn't you, Ron. I'll get him for that. And they started laughing. That was so funny. I remember those Fran Smith and all the people that worked in the Piston front office. And those were the days back then. I used to go into those. It was the last office behind the Sheraton Cadillac Hotel, the last and the rear of the Sheraton Cadillac. Ed, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure, man.
Okay, I enjoyed it. One thing I didn't mention yet, one of the people that was very active for me and very helped me considerably, because he is now dead, is George Maskin.
Yeah, George was a good man. I remember when he would come up when you weren't drawing flies there. You were drawing flies. Ron, what year were you born? I tell him, he goes, attendance tonight was 19. And the fans would boo. There's not 1,900 people here tonight, and they boo.
Very much so. Yeah. Well, nice talking to you.
Great talking to you, Ed. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Ed Coyle, my guest. Good show. If you're looking for the best quality in vitamins and nutrition at the best price in Metro Detroit, stop by Edge Living Nutrition Store in Novi. Edge Living has the hottest brands for sports nutrition, health and wellness, with certified nutritionists to customize your very own weight loss or fitness plan. Don't have time? Well, shop online. Go at GoEdgeLiving.com. GoEdgeLiving.com. Edge Living is on the corner of Grand River and Novi Road inside Creams and Caps Pharmacy. For all your mind, body, sport needs, go to GoEdgeLiving.com. College of Martial Arts in Sterling Heights. Fun, family-friendly karate for over 16 years. For guys and gals from 4 to 104, rated one of the best schools from Google, Yelp, and Facebook. College of Martial Arts, corner of 15 Mile and Chandler. Online, comakarate.com. C-O-M-A-karate.com. comakarate.com. Wrong with throat. This water I get, I have two throats and always goes down. Sometimes goes down the wrong one. Advanced Surgery Center in Dearborn, an accredited outpatient state-of-the-art facility with board-certified surgeons specializing in ear, nose, and throat plastic and orthopedic surgery. Advanced Surgery Center, corner of Michigan Avenue and Schaefer. For an appointment, call Advanced Surgery Center, 313-582-0100, 313-582-0100. Thanks for listening. We got good shows coming up in the next few weeks on Sports Talk. We're going to get Ed Jockeman. He's coming on the show in the next couple weeks. Former Ranger and Red Wing goaltender in the NHL Hall of Fame. And, of course, Hal Narragon will be on next week. And you can listen to me on AM 116 WPON Friday mornings 9 to 11. Listen online here.
And you can also listen on the podcast. Just go to WDTKAM.com, hit local podcast, click Ryan Cameron, and listen.
Listen. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you next week on Sports Talk. Bye-bye, everybody.
Sponsored by Sports Talk with Ron Cameron. Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare, and then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month. They don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans, and they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
It's no wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 844-41-BIBLE. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 844-41-BIBLE.